Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. We're going to do a quick hit on Spectre. We actually just finished recording the basket pod, the top five basketball movies, which was very, very long. But it's just, we got three people talking for the first time, so it's naturally going to be longer. But Kevin has agreed to stick around a little bit later, and I'm going to be honest, it's 1:43 a.m. right now. So
AKA K-Balls.
Yes, K-Balls has agreed to stick around for another episode, so thanks for doing that.
Hey, you only pod once.
It's true.
Not really, but...
Well, twice now.
We're doing
this
it.
Is our second episode.
We're good.
Yeah, we're going to pod all night long. No, but so we all saw Spectre this weekend. Michael and I saw it this evening. Kevin saw it last night. I've talked about this a little bit in earlier episodes, but to give context, my friend Clay and I made this pact to not watch any trailers because A, we loved Skyfall, you know, B, same director's coming back, like all the reasons to believe that, you know, that with that same recipe, you're going to have another, you know, solid, more than a solid Bond entry, like a great Bond film, and that I was going to see this movie no matter what. So why even bother watching trailers? So I didn't watch any trailers. And even if it play in a movie that, you know, that I was went to go see and the trailer came up, I would hurry out of the theater. I would run out of the theater and wait for a few minutes and come back in. So I love Bond movies. And so it's obviously fresh in our minds, but now we've got to tell you our opinion. I don't even know how to approach this, but this movie wasn't very good.
Yep.
I'm just going to say it. It wasn't very good for... I'm talking the Bond standard. What I expect in a Bond movie, and especially coming off of Skyfall, which I didn't have to be better than Skyfall. I just wanted...
Because Skyfall is really good.
Skyfall is one of the best Bond films. It's among the best. And I would say Casino Royale is also... So just something that's in that vicinity, right? And this is like... What happened? Like what... I feel like there was something I should have, like some sort of like a short film or some viewing requirement that I was supposed to see before this film, but like I missed out on it because I've never watched a Bond movie where I ask myself the question, what is going on
So I saw this with my dad.
Oh, okay.
And I think he's seen like all the Bond movies. He enjoys them a lot. And it gets to the point, are we good with spoilers here?
Maybe yeah, we should, this is...
No, spoiler,
before,
yeah.
Before we say we go, spoiler alert.
Yeah, but it's impossible to know because they're going to have to... How far do you skip? Look, I'm going to tell you right now. If you haven't seen Spectre, don't see it and listen to our spoilers. Okay? If you have seen it, then you're okay with spoilers. Go for it.
All right, so it gets to the part where he walks up on the cabin where he finds... What do they call him in the movie?
It's Mr. White?
Mr. White, but he had some other...
Yeah, he had the...
goofy name.
Yeah.
Or some code name. He gets to the cabin, and my dad leans over to me. It's like, it's pretty far in the movie at that point. I've not known what's going on the whole time. And I just laughed. Because I didn't even know what to say to him. Like,
yeah.
Here's what's happening. I basically just said, like, he got a command to kill a guy, and he's trying.
Like, which is the best explanation I've heard. There were six or seven distinct moments that I started to lean over to Michael, and then I just was like, and then I didn't. But because every single time my question was going to be, what is going on? What's happening right now? Because I don't know if I started to daydream and I skipped something crucial, but I lived in this constant state of fear that I missed something. Yeah. Like, I was like, I must not have been paying attention because a lot of this is not adding up. But no, we're having the same experience here. Like, wasn't a well-told story. This almost seemed... There's something about the pacing and the structure of this film that it just fell flat. And I don't know who that's on. If that's Sam Mendes, if that's the writing. But it felt weirdly empty. Yeah. Now, this wasn't like the worst Bond film I've ever seen. I wouldn't ever see anything like that. But given the expectations, I'm so surprised.
Yeah. So after thinking about it, my biggest question is, what were they trying for? Right? Because there's like this definite like difference between like old Bond films and like what the Daniel Craig Bond films have been. They got more serious and like almost more like Bourne-like. This one seemed like it tried to go back, but not completely.
No, yeah.
And just kind of sat in the water. Middle zone that ended up being not good.
Yeah, when you're going to do that, you have to fully commit, right?
Yeah.
Which this movie did not fully commit, but I totally agree. I think it tried to, and it didn't fit within the Daniel Craig Bond universe.
Right.
Like, and maybe it would have if they fully committed, but yeah, I think you're exactly right on that. Now, let's start with the beginning.
Okay.
All right, opening sequence, okay, starts off. First off, the Sam Shepard song's not good.
Nope.
Sam
Sam
Smith?
Sam Smith.
It's definitely Sam Smith. I don't know what the guy's name is. The song's not good.
Not a good Bond song.
No. Especially
coming off Adele.
I know. Adele killed it with Skyfall. So good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's weird. Is there some correlation to the how good the Bond song is to how good the movie is? Because yeah. Lately that's been the case. Anyway, so we start off in Mexico City. Bond films are famous for having these like crazy opening sequences before you add the Bond. You know, the Bond music comes in and you get the little like the little gun circle and he turns and shoots in the blood, you know, all that stuff. And this, by the way, this movie felt like it was missing a lot of Bond-isms. Like I almost feel like the Bond theme didn't play more than once for a few seconds. It was almost like it was like missing. Yeah. And I can talk about the score is definitely actually one of the negatives about this film, like the music and actually the lack thereof in certain parts that really needed it.
Yeah.
Not to mention this movie was 2.5 hours and it could have been an hour and a half.
Really long.
Yeah. There's no way they needed like that much time. But we start off in Mexico City with this like, you know, the pseudo one take shot for a long period of time, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I thought it looked good. And then it goes into this big scene that you can tell was supposed to be this like huge action set piece. And maybe it was when filming it, but I was like really underwhelmed with what he was doing and then how it, like what the ending was in terms of, again, we're all in the spoilers here, you know, getting control of that helicopter. I was thinking like, I don't know if I'm just really spoiled with a bunch of cool Bond stunts, but that just didn't seem that cool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Did it feel empty?
Oh, I felt like the majority of the action sequences were empty. I didn't feel like there was a climax really with any of them where like one part was like, oh, that was awesome. Like, when the plant blew up, that was like unexpected, but I was like I didn't feel anything.
Well,
like, oh, that's
it,
cool.
Look,
it blew up.
And it would suck to be stuck inside of an exploding building because you can get a really bad scar and you can lose your eye. But no burns, by the way. Burning, that's not what happens in exploding buildings. You get unexplainable scars.
Maybe it was the watch. When the watch blew up, cut his eye.
She didn't throw it in his face. She slid it on the ground like a hockey puck. Like This wasn't
like in some parody movie, she slides in like friction's too strong and just goes like 2 feet in front of him and they
it's
die.
Like, slide it further. Oh.
Kick it.
Yeah. Well, anyway. That was,
well, especially with the opening scene, it's like, oh, he kicked the bad guy out of the helicopter.
Yeah.
And then he was trying to slip my favorite part.
And the helicopter did some backflips and some all sorts of gymnastics.
My favorite part was the pilot, like James Bond kept slamming his head, even though his head is in a helmet, which is supposed to protect him, into the glass.
Yeah.
That's not gonna. Yeah. How's that gonna hurt a pilot?
It's just like, stop.
And let's be real for a second. This is a helicopter pilot. That's for sure for hire. Right? Like this, he's some like, you know, corporate stooge. That they probably could have come to an agreement like, hey, like I know you're not actually one of the bad guys. Let's just land safely together and go our separate ways.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's an important member of the bad guy gang. You know, he's just a pilot. But no, he had to smash his head against the thing. I smelled trouble after the opening sequence.
Yeah.
I was really hoping that I was either just being super critical or maybe, you know, it's just, maybe that'd be the one weakness and the rest of it was going to be great. Like I had hope going through, I kept hoping like, it's going to get good. And I will say, to not be totally negative, I liked the fight on the train. I actually liked that sequence.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really good fight. And I was starting to get like, oh, yeah, this is Bond, right? Like, this is a really good fight, which is a classic Bond. You have this, like, physical, you know.
But did you really have an emotional connection to the bad guy?
Oh, I didn't need one. Because I have a real-life connection to the bad guy. to name drop for the 10th time tonight. So, Dave Bautista, Drax the Destroyer.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
I'm not even kidding either. No, I was, this is actually May of last year. I had to go to London for a work trip. And we had to visit one of our clients in London. And the company, or the client we were visiting, had a driver for me all week in London. And it's this kid in his mid-20s from India. And I'm in the back of this taxi in central London. He's driving me to a movie theater that night to go see X-Men Days of Future Past. And Dave Bautista, and granted at this point, Guardians of the Galaxy hasn't come out. I don't know who Dave Bautista is because I don't watch professional wrestling. I've never kept up on it. This kid is obsessed with wrestling, and he starts freaking out. And he goes, "Ah, Bautista, Bautista, Bautista." And I'm like, what is he saying? Like, and he pulls the taxi over, and I'm like, oh, what is going on? And then he's like, "That's Dave, that's Bautista." I was like, I don't know who that is. He like turns around, he's like, You don't watch the wrestling in America, you know, like you're an idiot. It's from America. Of course you watch it. I was like, I'm gonna, American. Like, I just didn't get into the WCW or whatever it was, you know. And the dude gets out of the car and like goes up to him to like, I don't know if he signed something with him or took like a selfie with him. And I'm sitting in the back of the car like, I better not miss my showtime. No, I wasn't.
Like, this kid's life is being made. Oh, I better not miss my movie.
I'm pissed. It's like, look, I know this is a big deal to you. You have a job to do. And that's to get me to X-Men. No, clearly he was like beaming. And I was like so confused that this, like, someone would be so excited about it. And it didn't dawn on me until about halfway through Guardians of the Galaxy that was the guy. Oh. You know, because like, yeah. I'm looking at him like, oh, wait, this is coming together. Like, but anyway, so he's this huge physical force, which is very common in Bond films to have like kind of a bad guy that's just going to beat the crap out of him. And it's going to seem like, you know, that's the major Bond weakness, right? He's got the gadgets, he's smart, he's suave, whatever. But he's typically not like ripped and buff, you know, he doesn't have the physical part. So I thought the train sequence was fun. He says one word.
One word.
One word the whole movie.
Shoot. Which is crazy. I mean, they went PG. They didn't even go PG-13.
So you said you didn't like do any. You didn't see trailers. You didn't like read much press stuff for this or anything.
No.
So the makers of the movie talked up Bautista like so much.
Oh no.
Like he was a major player, like, in this movie.
Not so much like that, but just like he's a great actor and stuff like that. So he said one word. Like,
he said one word, like, he's even then the delivery was just so.
Yeah, so that just threw me off. That was just an,
that's so weird
thing.
It's like, don't you think you'd say something else? The rope is tied around your, spoiler alert, the rope is tied around your neck, you're about to fly off a train. The only thing that comes to your mind is, oh,
it's like you have a you're about to die, right? Yeah. Like, you have a moment to even be kind of funny, you know, like bring a moment of levity or something. But no, he goes with shoot.
Yeah.
Not his fault, obviously. It's the screenwriters, and they're probably at fault for a lot of this.
Yeah. I really like the train sequence. The only thing, like, the train was totally empty. It's kind of a little weird. Like, there was like never any people throughout the whole fight, but whatever.
Yeah.
Great to see that civilians weren't injured in there.
Because like they were, I noticed they were like in the dining area, but once they started the fight, no gone. One was there.
Yeah.
Where'd they go to the kitchen?
Yeah.
So can I transition that to a different part?
Please. Yes.
The car chase.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
There is it. So in this train of people. No people appear, but in the car chase, they managed to like slide a dude in there. So anyhow, what do you guys think
about the car chase?
About the 30-mile-an-hour car chase?
I called it more of a tour of Rome. That's what it was. Oh, look at
that! It was a Sunday drive. Is what that was.
It really was. It's like, okay, I'm just gonna do a little skirt around this corner. Oh, he's still there? Okay, good. Just making sure. Oh, going around this corner too. Tail whip.
Like, I was waiting for a 3-point turn.
Yeah.
Hey guys, do you mind if we all are we all, we can keep going if we're all okay with doing a 3-point turn. Yeah, no, well, I don't have a lot of needs for my Bond films, right? I want one good car chase sequence, you know? I want him to just completely destroy an Aston Martin that shoots missiles.
Yeah.
Like, I want a scene where you're on a boat, okay? Preferably traveling quickly. And then
a scene where your Aston Martin is pushing a Fiat 100 miles an hour. Yeah. It goes perfectly into a parking spot. Come on.
There's just a few things I need in my Bond films. And I feel like the few staples, look, this is not hard. It's not rocket science here. There's a formula and you know what people love. And they didn't do him well. Like, the car chase was, like, he was out of ammo, by the way, which is like, please.
Please.
Like,
and they ended up going with flames. Come on.
Yeah, I know. It was a huge. It was just. Yeah.
And then the car just sunk. Like, yeah. Did nothing really happen to it? It just...
Well, when he hit that button, I was like, is the car about to turn into a spaceship? Like,
I was like, it's going to fly!
It's going
to fly! Because it was so underwhelming at that point. I was like, oh, here's the moment. I'm like, look, I'm ready. If you want to take me in the air, I will go with you on this ride. Like, I badly want something to hold on to. Or even if it's a submarine, like turn into a boat. No. No, yeah, he's just going to parachute out and it's just going to fall. It's like,
and the
people of Rome, which is the parachuting guy, like, everyone just keeps on their way, you know? and meanwhile, the bad guy should have a great idea of where he is because it would have taken a lot longer to land and
foiled
it's
again.
Very big. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Not good at all. So generally underwhelming action set pieces. I will say, when they got to Africa to go out to this remote location, when they got there, I had to stop and think, wait, how did they know to get here? Like, how did we get here? Like, what was... And I know that there was a plot point, but, like, I had to keep asking myself that and reminding myself how they knew where to go and what they were doing there, like, over
and
over.
Like, there was going to be a shuttle at this train station. So, like, just weird stuff like that.
Or this car pulls up with this, like, chauffeur. It's like...
Cool, I knew that.
Why did that happen? Yeah. What's going
on? Where did all these like changes of clothes come from?
Well, suits kept changing.
So that's a thing that's like the old Bond films would like. That was just the thing. Like stuff like that happens, then like you're cool with it.
Exactly. Yeah, he can get the messiest thing ever, but he comes out in a super nice, clean, spotless suit.
Yeah.
Right.
So just like be cool with it. But that's like where it was like halfway between. What kind of movie?
Yeah, what do you
want?
Are we serious Bond or are we playful Bond, right?
Which, by the way, after the train fight, there wasn't any blood on James Bond. No swollen.
Yeah.
This guy was
true.
Beating the crap out of him.
One black eye. Maybe one. Yeah.
But there was just sweat. It's like,
well,
okay.
And that's the difference between this and Skyfall, even. Like, Skyfall, he actually has wounds and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he has like a torture scene, for goodness sakes. Like, anyway, that was Skyfall, right? The one with Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's not Quantum of Solace. Was this movie better or worse than Quantum of Solace? I actually don't know how to answer that question. I'd actually have to rewatch Quantum of Solace.
Yeah,
but Quantum of Solace is my least favorite one of the... You know.
I think it's better. I think it's hard to say right now because I think it's just coming off of Skyfall.
Yeah.
And... We thought we knew what we were going to get and then totally didn't.
We didn't. And so I was able to actually suspend disbelief in the film. Like as I'm asking myself these questions and everything seems so mysterious and unexplained. And I don't need a movie to, you know, to hold my hand through all of it. But like get a little bit better keeping us in the loop about how we're getting from point A to point B. But because we're following this like super shadowy, mysterious organization of which I still don't know what they do. Because it's so shadowy, I'm willing to live in that kind of shroud of mystery, thinking like, well, maybe that's kind of the theme here, like what is going on, right? And thinking by the end of the film, it will have at least made some sense, right?
Yeah.
And we get to the end of the film, and no, I'm not any more knowledgeable about what the heck happened in a lot of those. Some of it makes sense, some of it doesn't. Speaking of making sense, I have to mention the scene where he's visiting the grieving widow of the man he just killed, by the way. Which, scumbag Bond in this one. He sleeps with two women, both of which are grieving over the death of very close loved ones, their husband and father. And it's like...
And the first one was like the age of my mom.
Yeah, Bond, it's like, quite the age Bond. Difference between the two.
Well, one was too old and one was too young. Can we get one that's just maybe your age? Like,
seriously.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess... I'm certainly not a proponent of, one night stands and sleeping around with women and whatnot, but maybe I do like my Bond to be able to be suave and not have to rely on vulnerable situations to pick up his women, because that's exactly what happened
here.
That's what happened. Okay.
And then just to compound on that scene a little more, the shots they chose to use, like him against the mirror.
Yes.
They're against the mirror, but you can't see her.
No.
So it's just him like against a mirror
for
10 seconds.
It was the most uncomfortable, odd, weird, like we talked about the mirror scene, like what was going on?
Yeah.
Like, and also he hasn't, I know he's James Bond and we're supposed to just assume he can pick up any woman at any time, But there has been nothing about their interaction that would even lead me to believe for a moment that she'd be interested in sleeping by. Like, he hasn't you know, tried to woo her or anything. It just turned into this weird conversation to like, oh, they're kind of, are they kissing? I'm not sure what's going on with their mouths. Like, oh no, this is weird.
Just like heavy breathing for a while. Yeah, and then
super heavy breathing. And then it's like, oh, so I guess this is going to happen. Well, that was weird.
Yeah, I remember like leaning over to David and being like, I hope there's not important plot points right now. I'm so confused about what's going on. It's like, I'm watching James Bond kiss this super old lady, start to take off her dress.
Whoa.
There's like wrinkles on her face.
Oh, well, and that's fine. You know, if you want to go for it, I'm not opposed to.
Can you block that one? I realize what I just said.
Ooh, hold on. No.
Live your life, you know.
Wait, let me check on that, Michael. Ooh, oh. Nope, not gonna be able to edit that.
that doesn't.
No, I get what you're saying. Like yes, she's an older woman, and older people have wrinkles on their body. I get it. But like, look. The scene was so like weirdly framed and shot and unsettling that like I was prepared for something significant to happen and thinking like, okay, wait, what? She's either going to pull out a knife or something's going to happen here. I'm like trying to pay attention, and then nothing significant happens. She just kind of gives him directions and where to go next.
And then the next shot is them the next morning, right? And she's in like lingerie. Did you notice that?
I don't even actually remember. I saw that movie tonight. I don't remember that.
Maybe it wasn't even the next morning. Maybe it was just when they were done.
So what about her lingerie? Do you have something else to say about her wrinkles?
Why did she get dressed in the lingerie?
I don't know. I will say this.
Why would she do that?
I had a lot of questions. Can't say that was one of them.
why doesn't she just wear pajamas?
Oh, okay. I was like, I'm not sure what you're getting at. I have no idea what you're saying. Okay, a couple of things to get through here. So I was super confused about, clearly that's the theme here, but the motives of the villains involved. Okay, we have the MI6 back, you know, back at home base dealing with their stuff, which is this, which was Moriarty from let's just be honest, from Sherlock on BBC. I could not see Moriarty being this like, you know, the typical young into technology, wants to have all the surveillance type of character. So of course we have like this post Edward Snowden, you know, theme, which I actually typically enjoy. And talking about how we don't even need the 007 program anymore because we can do that with drones, which I was telling Michael, I was thinking like, oh, that'd be interesting. Like, what if like by the time I have like kids and they're older and they're watching Bond movies, that it's like devolved to the point that like 007 is just like a drone with a bow tie. just traveling the world.
It's just Wally.
It's just Wally. Like another James Bond movie. Oh man, you guys should know back in the good old days when it was like super confusing.
Those
and
I didn't
know
what was going on.
Anyway, so we have MI6, we have that whole surveillance, like is it worth the cost of, is it worth spying on everyone, you know, at the very small chance that we might be able to avert a crisis of some kind, right? So it's not exactly a unique storyline. But then we have Christoph Waltz, who I want to say right now, number one on the list of villain to put in your movie. Okay,
if there's
a villain actor power rankings, number one.
Number one.
And he's been the number one. He's been the leaderboard for several years now. Okay.
Yeah.
Number one. So when I found out he was cast in this film, I was pumped.
Oh yeah.
It was like, this is literally like, you couldn't craft a better Bond villain. Yep. It's perfect. Really. German accent.
German. Like, hate
it's
it.
Just like. This is, so you have the international, yeah.
Are you German? No.
I mean, I am.
Well, I am German too, so I Swiss German, but you know.
David.
What, did you not know that about me?
I didn't.
Okay, well, I just got back from, you know, visiting the Stauffer homestead in Switzerland.
Homeland.
Yeah, for that very purpose. Anyway, he's the perfect villain for a lot of reasons. Obviously, Inglourious Basterds is where that all started, and he's been a bad guy in several other films, but like, he is such a good actor. I'm a huge fan of his. And so in a Bond film, it's just like, okay, this was a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
I see him in a shadow towards the beginning of the film. And I'm like, okay, you know. Then I don't see him for an hour and a half. And I'm thinking in my head, so is Christoph Waltz in this movie? Like, is this going to happen? What's going on? I was under the impression this was the main bad guy. And so, like, we were underserved Christoph Waltz.
Absolutely.
To such an extreme degree that I was hoping at the end, even though I knew it wasn't a good movie, I was like, please don't kill him.
That's the water filter again.
So, two podcasts, two water filter disruptions. no, I'll just keep. It's not that bad. But like, I'm thinking, please don't waste the Christoph Waltz Bond villain on this movie.
Yeah.
Because like, this is a great opportunity. This is such a good actor, such a good character. Like, don't kill him. No don't way. Let this be the, you know, his mm-hmm. movie. This was, you barely used him and it was really confusing. And he sat on this chair like a doctor and it was just, I don't know. And then he got blown up in a building and got a really gnarly scar. Can we talk about that? I thought I missed something. Why did he have the scar?
Seriously. I think the idea is that he survived the watch exploding and like
something else.
For whatever reason that, well, I think, I don't know. I was going to say that is what got him the scar. It doesn't make sense. And then escaped before everything blew up. But like, I don't
know. Because you saw the two Jeeps drive away after the whole plant blows
well,
up.
Well, we figured he'd probably get out of there, right? But I'm asking like, how did that happen?
It's like a perfect scar, right? Because
it's hugely prominent. Obviously he has like the glass eye thing or whatever is in there. And it's like classic Bond villain, classic any villain type of thing. Huge scar, glass eye, German accent, Christoph Waltz. It's like, oh, well, this is it. And I remember I saw it and I thought, did I miss a fight?
Yeah.
Some hand-to-hand combat where he got stabbed? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
No explanation? I didn't miss anything?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
Maybe it's just because they didn't want to like mimic Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
Too big.
Well, it felt Harvey Dent-ish when it showed him. I was because it's very significant. And in my head, I'm thinking like, oh no, this isn't gonna do. Because I think that was a very weak part of The Dark Knight for an otherwise. Otherwise, good movie.
Yeah.
I felt like that was the weakest part. Was turning Harvey Dent into Two-Face.
Yeah.
Two-Face right before the movie ends.
Yeah.
But I thought like, oh, are we gonna get like a whole re-energized fourth act here where we get the Scar version of this? It was it felt super weird. Like maybe there's a deleted scene. Maybe there's something that like they cut and it just doesn't like it's. This is maybe Thor in that body of water in Avengers, Age of Ultron, where you're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I have no idea. There's lightning bolts and stuff, and I'm so confused. But apparently they cut a bunch of stuff out that would have helped explain that. Maybe this is that case. I don't know.
Maybe they cut out the scene where he's running down the hall, and then Bond shoots a gun.
A nail gun?
He avoids it with a flip.
Popcorn gun.
I just want some backstory.
Yeah,
that's gnarly.
Something.
Anyway,
it just seems like two separate ideas that don't go together, but they thought both were cool.
Like the explosion and the scar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, that's cool, that's cool. They don't need to make sense. Like,
yeah. Well, they thought that about a lot of things in this movie.
So,
what if we just drop them in Africa? Well, how does that make sense? It doesn't need to make sense.
No, so before we move away from this to me was like the most disappointing part of this whole movie. It's Christoph Waltz.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
So you didn't see the trailer. The trailers were actually really, really good.
And he was in them.
And so here was basically the trailer.
Okay.
Some action set pieces.
Okay.
The line, you're a kite in a hurricane. Like,
great
all
line.
The dramatic music. And then Christoph Waltz being like revealed in the shadows. Like, so it's him in the shadow, you don't know who it is. And then you find out at the end of the trailer, it's Christoph Waltz.
Oh, wow.
So that's basically the trailer. And so you're like, yeah, he's gonna, like, and then not only was he hardly in it, but he just felt like caged to an extent. Like most of what we know is Tarantino, Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, I know.
So it's hard to like, it's hard to expect the same thing, but
such
still,
a good character.
Like,
no, I totally agree. You're 100% right. This was the biggest misfire. And there's so many things to go over. Not just the fact he's barely in it. And it's a huge opportunity to have him in your movie, but also I'm still really unclear about his relationship to Bond. I'm really unclear about his motive in general.
He's his brother, apparently.
Yeah, what? Like, wait, I'm sorry. What are you? A stepbrother? You said something just now, kind of quietly.
And you killed everyone?
You killed everyone? I'm sorry, your brothers? I'm so confused right now.
You're mad because your dad taught James Bond how to ski.
Is this a childhood jealousy thing? Is that the plot of this movie?
You hate orphans?
Like, yes. What is going on? Who are you? Get out of that doctor's chair. stop trying to drill stuff into our heads.
What does your organization do?
Why did everyone just stand up behind you in unison?
Yeah,
what are they doing?
Just like a totally different thing that was hilarious to me. So he's so good. He was apparently, according to him, he's done all this stuff to destroy Bond's life.
Yeah.
Never being caught. He was perfect. I executed it all just fine.
Yeah.
And he's like, if this hits the right nerve, you won't remember anyone's face.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't work.
This hits the right nerve. Ah, dang. Executed everything perfectly, except hitting that right nerve. That would have really...
I was going to misfire eventually, so...
Dude, oh, my gosh.
Do you remember me? I could never forget that face.
Like, oh, my gosh. I expected Bond to be looking over and be like, wink, I have no idea who she is. Because you know, like, there's still a general thing for Bond would say, regardless of if he actually remembered her. Because he's still in Bond mode. He's still thinking he could probably get her that night. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so the not enough Walt's part is a huge deal. And
what I want to know, how did she know the watch was going to blow up?
He just told her.
He said, you have a minute.
You have a minute to throw it. So I think she's probably just like, well, I'm going to throw this thing and see what happens. I mean, like, he just gave her instructions and she just, whatever. You know,
I
say,
I didn't think the watch was going to blow up because, what's his face, the techie guy said, it's going to make a really loud noise. I thought it was going to be like an alarm.
So when he was like, the alarm is very loud, I was like, I'm trying to decipher what's going on here. Like, the low-hanging fruit is that thing explodes.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a weird way to say that. Yeah. So I'm like, well, I guess I'll find out. Maybe it's this, like, extremely loud noise. Yeah. Like, this thing that makes everyone go deaf. Yeah. No, it just bleeding. Explodes.
It just explodes.
Oh, jeez.
Can we also talk about how we knew James Bond was going to steal that car in the beginning?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was a little telegraphed. Oh, sorry, Bond. That really nice car right there? That's for 009.
That's for
I bet it is. I bet there's not going to be seen immediately after this where he takes it.
And later apologizes.
To turn quickly to a positive thing, I mean, and this is maybe grasping at straws, but I did like the scene where Bond meets that guy's daughter for the first time, and they're having that questionnaire thing.
Yeah,
I actually thought that scene kind of worked. It was a little bit tense, but when she's like, you know, you didn't fill out the occupation thing, and he's like, well, that would look good. That would look bad on paper, you know, because I'm here to kill people. And then immediately it gets tense. I'm like, oh, this is. I like the dialogue. It felt like it built up towards something, and then like much of the movie, it built up to something that wasn't.
Yeah.
It did not have a satisfying payoff.
Yeah.
But there was some dialogue there, and look, that's like one of the few positives I have the movie. So like, it's unfortunately frustrating.
For that one.
I really was reaching, but I remember that was one moment I'm trying to remember where I'm like, oh, this is gonna get good, you know, like, oh, this is going somewhere, and then it doesn't go there. There is one other thing I had here. To wrap up on Christoph Waltz, we don't know for sure if Daniel Craig's coming back as the next Bond. Who knows?
So he signed on for another. Right?
Did he? I'm unclear. Maybe he did. Okay.
But this really felt like an end.
It kind of did.
Mm-hmm.
Although I would like that not to be Daniel Craig's last Bond, because I really like Daniel Craig as Bond, and I want him to go out on a much better.
Yeah.
But Skyfall actually would have been an amazing end.
Yeah.
Especially because it links back to a lot more of his personal life than you usually get in a Bond film. But regardless, so it sounds like we might get Daniel Craig one more time. It's always been unclear to me. But even if it isn't the case, can we get a mulligan on the Christoph Waltz thing? Can we throw him in the next one and just go completely?
Yeah, I don't think anyone will care.
Like, yeah, no, please. I really, really want to reuse him. Anyway, those are like honestly a lot of my main stuff. I don't know if you had any other specific scenes or parts that were worth mentioning.
Can I just say that when they were leaving the plant in South Africa, it felt like I was watching a video game.
Like
that's
the you're talking about the explosion part, or like
no, like him shooting all the bad guys.
It
was right over his shoulder.
That was totally.
It was so funny because it felt like it went like, you know, in new video games how they show like a video and then you start the action,
the cutscene.
Yeah. So it's like them, you know, oh, throw the watch, blow up, then they run away. So now it's like first player, you know, and he starts shooting, doesn't miss.
No, one shot, one. Yeah, I know. They all fall.
Yeah, all of them.
But like, yeah, they're very, very dispensable. Like, they're just like pop, pop, pop. Oh, is there one more?
Away.
Pop. Like, it's just like okay. Well, Bond was really in danger there. Like, they were the stormtroopers of this movie.
Who did these guys, like, where did they find these guys?
Yeah,
we're going to be great guards.
Well, look, the best villain in this movie was Batista. He said one word, and he just threw him around in a train. Like, that was as good as it got with the villains.
Yeah. Something for me with Bond and the girl, like, she so, like, for so long has this thing, like, I'm not going to, like, get with you.
It's like,
and then, like, the switch flips. But then even to that end, like, then she gets to the point, like, I'm in. Like,
yeah.
I'm part of this.
Yeah.
And then, oh, it's time to go catch Waltz. Like, stop this whole thing from happening. Yeah. Or stop, not, it's not Waltz. It's time to, like, they try to shut down the intelligence thing.
Yeah.
And, wait, I'm gone. I'm leaving.
I'm leaving, like, yeah.
Just to be caught. But, I mean.
What was weird about that
she
scene
just
was
changes her mind, like,
when she was like, I can't live a life like this. It, the look on Bond's face is like, I almost felt like he's like, oh, did you get the wrong idea? I'm sorry. Were you under the impression that I was going to spend an extended period of time with you? Oh, no. I just, you know, I do this one time and I bounce.
It was so funny.
This is a classic hit it and quit it situation. I'm sorry.
It's like one of the most funniest lines to me is when they're standing in that alley. And then she says something like, I just can't do this. And it's like the camera's right on Daniel Craig's face. And he goes, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What are you talking about?
What are you saying right now?
Do you think you're moving in with me? Also, back to the challenge, though, when she's like, you're not sleeping. I'm like, oh, we have 20-something Bond films of examples of don't challenge him with that.
Yeah.
You don't challenge Bond with that.
Because like, it's going to happen. Just be like, oh, this will get him. This is
clever. yeah, exactly.
But we'll give it to you.
I'm going to play hard to get. He's like, look, one way or another, this is happening.
Yeah, it would have been really funny if when she says, like, I can't do this, he's just like, woo. And then he gets in the car and he's like, save me from an awkward conversation. Yeah, like,
it was such a weird scene because the really look on his face was kind of like, okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry, right. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Oh.
But it seemed like the biggest thing from this movie is just so much went unexplained and while still trying to like treat itself as a serious movie.
Yes. It very much treated itself like a serious movie with a few exceptions. The fact is we have a series of action set pieces and then also a series of non-action set pieces that are just kind of boring.
Yeah.
That have no clear transition. It feels very cobbled together. And there's not like this discernible narrative. It's just like we're moving from thing to thing. And it's like, what is going on? It confused the heck out of me. And I'm not used to that by Bond films. Like they do a generally pretty good job of being able to like actually keep the audience involved in what's happening.
Yeah.
So I feel like were there rewrites? Did the studio get involved somehow? How did this end up like this?
Yeah, it's crazy.
What's going on?
I'm just looking out the garage door right now.
Any other closing Spectre thoughts? Because it's 2:20 a.m. Is it 2:20 or is it 1:20?
2:20.
It is 2:20. Holy cow.
Just trying to think of other funny moments.
I thought it was pretty funny when they meet Christoph Waltz like at the facility.
Yeah.
When it's the asteroid. He's like, see that?
Yeah.
That's the asteroid that made this crater.
Yeah, what?
It's like, if I had like a mansion one day and like in the mansion I had a room that had the crane that like helped build my house.
What, man. Yeah, and it seemed like
that
was supposed to be significant. Like even when I saw his glass eye, part of me was like, maybe that's part the asteroid or something. Like, I'm trying to make meaning to it, you know? It's like, oh, it must be the asteroid. And they had pictures of it, like their family pictures in the rooms they were. By the way, like, I still don't know what happened there either.
Yeah.
Like, look how creepy this is. We put you in your little hotel room that have pictures of your family, loved ones.
About
you. Yeah. But then they didn't ever go back there to stay the night.
My favorite part of that though, it's like they walk into this room and the only thing there is an asteroid. And all of a sudden you just hear this voice, go ahead and touch it.
It's like dark. I'm like, don't touch it. Turn the lights on.
Yeah.
Don't listen to that man.
It's like, are these lights motion sensitive?
Like at that point, might as well have gone just like a double dog.
Oh, man. I'm as much as I would like to have talked to someone who loved this movie, to hear just their perspective, frankly, we probably would have ganged up on them. And,
and who would have that have been?
I don't know anyone that would have that's loved this movie.
Just thought it was amazing.
But I'm glad we actually were kind of on the same page here because it was kind of fun to go through it. And now I don't feel crazy. I almost felt guilty walking out of the theater because, like, I didn't like that movie. And I love James Bond movies. What's wrong with me? Am I becoming a cynic? Like, am I like some sort of film snob now? That wasn't a good movie. I didn't totally enjoy that. So it's for me. It's I feel justified.
So we've definitely like ripped on it.
Yeah.
Is it worth seeing like at all? I don't. If you knew like knowing that it's like this, is it worth going to see?
So
can I answer that? So before the movie started, I said, David, like, do I need to be critical of this movie or should I just enjoy it? And David said, just enjoy it, you know, just watch it to enjoy it. And I said, you got it. So my expectations were, of course, you know, not set as high. And I was there to watch a movie to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
No. It was hard. I was actively trying to like it and make sense of it.
And we were not critical of this movie.
Like you don't. I said, James Bond. You don't have to try very hard.
Yeah.
To get me to buy in. I'm already halfway in that door, and they pushed me right back out. To finish that analogy.
Can I just say one of my favorite moments while we were in the movie theaters? So.
Was it when the woman moved seats because we were talking?
Yeah. Well, no, it's the same woman though.
Oh my gosh.
So near the end of the movie, the screen, you know, fades to black.
And she thought it was the ending.
Yeah, she thought it was the ending. And we're in these recliner chairs that are electronic.
Yeah, they make a little bit of noise.
So
yeah,
all of a sudden, it's like dead silent. And she thinks it's over. It's like...
And then it stops because there's one more scene. It's not over yet, you know? And then the scene goes back up and it stops. And then she's like... She like starts re-reclining.
We were laughing so hard. We were trying to hold it in so
hard. No, I was trying not to. Because she's sitting right next to us.
Yeah. That's funny.
Anyway. Well, so I think bottom line is all three of us, we recommend Spectre. Go see it. Great movie.
This pod's brought to you by
honestly,
Spectre.
Seriously, tweet at us, you know, at Brave Little Pod, email us, bravelittlepodcast@gmail.com. If you really strongly disagree with our take, I legitimately want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to hear alternate takes and tell us where we're wrong and tell us why you loved it. I would actually sincerely appreciate it because I'm at a loss for why this movie it's just so bad.
Yeah.
So
there's... two different ways, I guess, right? You could enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
or think it's good.
Yeah.
Maybe someone could enjoy it.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone could.
If you know going in that it's a kind of a cobbled together, fumbled Bond film, like if you have the right expectations, it's just, I went in with huge expectations. Yeah. And it was unfortunate.
Yeah.
Also, to answer that previous question about worth seeing even again, I was thinking in the middle of it, like, I need to watch this a second
time. Yeah, I kind
of
want to go see it again. Because
I don't know what's going on. But also, I don't know that I would know anymore what's going on a second time. I would watch this movie on an airplane.
Okay.
If you're on an airplane, it's an option. Check it out.
That'd be a long flight, though.
Yeah. It's going to be a long flight.
But one confusing one. You'll probably think to yourself, how did I get on this airplane?
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's also a plane sequence, too, where he crashes through blocks of wood. Just in a really... unexplained. Really,
yeah, we just
weird.
Did a whole negative review of this movie and never mentioned that like
that
whole
plane
scene.
That plane sequence was actually, you know, I'm okay not mentioning it. Speaks for itself. But I would watch. I mean, yeah, like, look, Redbox, if it's on Netflix, whatever, it might be worth checking out if you just need some popcorn entertainment to turn your brain off. But if you're looking for like a vintage Bond film, don't go to Spectre.
Unfortunately,
it might be okay playing in the background while you're checking work emails or something and just peek in periodically. I mean, you honestly don't need to pay attention to what's going on because they never explain to you what's happening.
Yeah,
I know. I'm still trying to figure out what the organization does, because in the beginning they're like, we've sold 160,000 women or something like that. I'm like, oh,
wait,
no,
what's
so,
wait, so are we, is this human trafficking? What's going on? Yeah, it's just a global shadowy organization that does a lot of bad stuff. Like
exactly
all sorts
what's
of
going
across
on.
The spectrum, and they have eyes on everybody. It's like it's like they just clop every single thing they could get in about like bad evil motives, and they're just like, let's just use them all,
and
like all the ideas.
If anybody wants to challenge anybody around that round table, make sure you go for the eyes.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Just go for the eyes, take them out.
Yeah,
completely take out the eyes.
They obviously don't know how to fight whatsoever.
Yeah, and if we're going to, you know, call out Bond very publicly, maybe let's get like two or three security guards, not just one short bald guy that's easily thrown across the balcony on the table. Like, just, that's the best henchman you got. You thought he was going to stop Bond. No, very, very poor plan. Hi, Mickey Mouse. Okay, you're going over. And you're, whoopsie daisy. And you're over.
Oh,
all right, well, let me close just by saying...
hold on to your
butt. the most abrupt way to end. No, I do. No, I'm contractually obligated to say MoviePass is awesome and we're sponsored by them. So check out MoviePass. Also, DonnaTheThread.com, who have supplied our t-shirts, and they do horror movie t-shirts, www.DonnaTheThread.com. Also, season 3 of Nathan For You on Comedy Central. Check it out. Oh. Funniest show on television. It is unreal. They're actually not an official sponsor of the pod. I just feel like everyone needs to watch it. So,
good.
No, yeah. Honestly, Nathan Fielder right now is the funniest person on television. I stand by that. Watch it. It's really, really good stuff. And that's it. So we got 2 podcasts in, 2:30. Did you have anything else that you wanted to plug or mention?
Yeah, just again, Magnificent 7 podcast on iTunes. Magnificent.
Yep.
That's on there.
And you and your co-host Chris.
Chris, yep, Chris Zimmerman. And you can follow me on Twitter at KevinRyan770.
Yeah.
If we're saying Nathan Fielder, I'm going to throw out a show if you haven't seen it, Mr. Robot Season 1.
Ooh, USA.
Yeah.
USA. I just started watching it. I've had so many people recommend it. I'm like 3 episodes
fantastic.
In.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. So check that show out.
Yeah, it's awesome. I know we're wrapping up. And he just mentioned Magnificent 7 podcast, which really, I love the format. We do a lot of top 5 lists, and the entire format of that podcast is the top 7. And
yeah, top 7 list based on some category.
Yep, really entertaining stuff. And I just listened to Kevin on talking about top 7
worst movie plot twists,
right? Yeah. Which in my head I was thinking like, so has M. Night Shyamalan made 7 films? Because those would be the 7. Yeah, which were 2, right? Were listed on it? It was The Village.
I did Signs, The Village.
Signs, The Village, yeah.
I don't think I did another one.
Signs in The Village, two. I totally understand. But I will quickly mention, you have Knowing was one of your top 7 worst.
Knowing.
Yeah. Like, you're 100% correct. I'm so glad you brought that up, because Michael here, I was in the theater with him. We were in college. We were watching that movie.
Yep.
And I went in. Look, Nicolas Cage was not exactly in the prime of his career when this movie came out, so I didn't go in expecting really anything. I thought it was going to be not a good movie. But what's weird is it actually piqued my interest, and it wasn't
cool. Cool idea at first.
Yeah, it was like, this is kind of an interesting concept. And then there's this crazy, like, I think it was a subway crash sequence and a plane crash.
There was a huge plane crash.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? What is going on? This is good.
Yeah.
I had very low expectations, right? So like, blew it out of the water. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm invested now. I'm gonna buy in. And then it gets, as it's kind of reaching the climax, it's growing more and more problematic, to the point where I'm like, well, that's weird. What could explain this away?
Because
this is getting crazy. And then I audibly say out loud, if this is aliens, I'm gonna be pissed.
Yes.
I literally say out loud, like don't go there. Like you did a heck of a job on that plane crash set piece,
don't
guys.
Don't
screw this up.
Yeah.
And it is exactly aliens in the worst way. So you bring that up, I was like, so happy you said it, because it's totally true. Look, if you want to make a movie about aliens like Independence Day, awesome. Just be upfront about it.
Yeah.
So.
And you gotta make sure Will Smith's in it too.
Oh yeah, get Will Smith in your movie. Any movie. He makes great movies. Hancock, 7 Pounds, After Earth, terrific films.
Gosh.
Hey, I'll see him in Concussion. So, Michael, also the second time joining me in the pod.
Yeah, loved it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for letting us.
BFFs for life.
Yes, this is, we'll never forget the night we stayed up till 2:30 a.m. in a garage podcasting.
When some friends asked me what I did yesterday, I said, met some strangers, stayed up, talking about movies till 2:30.
They invited me into their garage. We turned on a microphone and we just talked.
But before we close, this pod is also brought to you by The Highlands.
Oh, okay.
Check them out on YouTube.
This is an unofficial.
The HEYLEN'S. Join Mike and Natalie as they embark on different adventures.
So you know how some people write unauthorized biographies? that this is an unauthorized sponsorship.
Yeah.
Neither Skylar nor I recommend that you go visit the Highlands YouTube page.
But David, have you seen him?
No, I have not.
Are you kidding me? We're best friends.
Wait, is this a joke or you actually have a YouTube channel?
I actually have a YouTube channel.
I thought this was a bit. I honestly thought this was a bit.
Oh no. Well.
Okay, well, there's a YouTube channel, apparently.
Experience the thrill of having a sneak peek of their personal life.
All right.
The Highlands on YouTube.
Awesome.
Well, watch it today.
That's it for Spectre. And thanks for joining us, guys. As we say, hold on to your butts.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.